From the studios of Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. Robin Smith is my guest. An accomplished artist in several mediums, she is primarily a painter and a printmaker. Robin Smith is also an educator and teaches at Monterey Peninsula College in Monterey, California, and she is also a contributor to a new book of art and recipes, an art cookbook called Melange. Robin Smith, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Thank you, Gary.
Melange means concoction. Is that a reference to the inks you use to print or the recipes in the book?
Well, both, actually.
So you love to cook? Are you a cook?
Well, I do like to cook, but this book has not... It's really about a collaboration between at least 50 printmakers who also like to cook. So my love of cooking is really on the amateur level.
It's interesting. If you just flip the book open, you flip right to a Robin Smith, but I'll ask you about that in a second. So what's for you as an artist, what's more satisfying, to make a painting or to create a beautiful recipe?
Oh, absolutely a painting. I mean, I'm an artist, visual artist, absolutely, first and foremost. Cooking is just, it's really a hobby for me, and it's pretty much a hobby for everyone involved in the book, the 50-plus printmakers who find themselves in this book. It's just that it's a similar kind of pursuit. There's an alchemy involved in both painting, printmaking, and cooking, and serving food as well. And basically, I think if you really looked at a lot of visual artists, you'd find that a lot of them like to cook.
That's why they're all so large.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what was your role in corralling all of these artists in creating this book, Melange?
Well, I am an advisor to a club called the Monterey Peninsula College Fine Art Print Club, which is quite a mouthful. I'd love to change the name. But in any case, we're an affiliation of 90-plus artists, mostly in the Monterey Bay area, but quite a few in our diaspora as well. And we are a printmaking group, and we bring in guest artists, and we go on field trips, and we do exhibitions, and we create portfolios, and we do a lot of parties. And what seemed to happen after about 4 years of our getting together on a regular basis to do all of these artistic pursuits is we realized that we were really eating well in these parties, and we actually do have some professional eaters and some professional cooks in our midst.
Wait a minute, you can be a professional eater? make money eating?
It seems at times that we are professional eaters, but there are definitely some professional cooks and food people in our midst, in our group, and so our potlucks were just getting really incredible. We actually do have a few restaurateurs as well. And so the level of food production, food service, and eating was just getting to be really ridiculous. And so at one point, one of our members and officers, Carrie Grissom, and I kind of looked at each other and said, you know, we really ought to do a cookbook of some kind that involves prints. And it was kind of a toss-off idea that continued to grow, and I don't think any of us really had any idea what we would do. We originally came up with a handmade book, Melange, Come for the Art, Stay for the Food, which was a suite of four suites of original prints with recipes by anybody in the group who wanted to contribute, and that was so successful, but not something that we could sell. It was just, you know, they were all original prints.
So by suite, you mean portfolio?
Yeah. It's a portfolio that got bound into books. So we actually did a group. We bound them with a Japanese stab binding. And every artist involved made 15 prints of the image that they chose for their recipe. And all of the artists involved got a book. There are four suites, meaning that there are for different books. That's just because a few of us actually do editions, and 15 prints each was quite enough, rather than 50 prints each. And so it was just such a wonderful book and so beautiful and so much fun to do that we decided to go ahead and see if we could produce a commercially printed book that would be available for sale and possibly make a little bit of money back for the club.
So that's what Mélange.
So that's what Mélange 2 is. It's Mélange, come for the food, stay for the art, because this is a much bigger book. It's over 200 pages. It's 300 recipes. It's about 90 color prints. All of the original artwork and recipes from the first book are in this, but this is a greatly expanded edition. There's stories and tales of food and many more recipes than were in the original suite of books.
Well, we're talking to artist Robin Smith, and she is one of the collaborators, co-authors, so to speak, of a lovely little cookbook called Mélange. Am I saying it correctly?
Mm-hmm.
And it has recipes and art, and the artists, it's original art, I should say. And so the artists contributed both the art and the recipes.
Yes, but not every recipe is illustrated by a print, and not every recipe is accompanied by a print that particular contributor made. So, for example, there are a couple of prints of mine that originally were in there for my famous butternut squash soup, but now they accompany other recipes as well as my butternut squash soup. And we also have a section in the center of the book. It's arranged, you know, by drinks, appetizers, salads, and so forth. Then we have an intermezzo where, presumably, if you have been eating out of this book, you now are ready to go make some art. And we have this intermezzo, which are maybe 20-plus printmaking recipes for things like licorice black ink and pastel transfer two ways. And once you've made your work and you're ready, you've built up more of an appetite, you can then go back into Mélange, into the food section, and get your main dishes, your vegetables, your desserts, etc.
Now, I see that you included a recipe that you got from your mother here. Now, she must be a great cook. Was your mother a great cook?
My mother is a terrible cook, and she would be the first to acknowledge that. It's just that I have carried this one recipe of hers around for 35 years on the original stationery that she sent it to me on the stationery in 1973. So it's, you know, kind of green and got a lot of flowers on it and stains and so forth and messages about my brothers. She sent it to me while I was in college because it was the one thing that she really could make.
1973, you must have been 9 years old.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, maybe it was 1975, something like that. Yeah, 12.
So what is this recipe, a famous recipe of your mother's?
It's actually a Craig Claiborne recipe, which I found out later, New York Times.
He's going to come after you then.
He might very well, but I don't know if he's still alive. But in any case, it's for a puffy pancake. You know, every culture has their puffy pancake, and this is a very delicious puffy pancake that you make in a cast iron skillet and just pour the batter in and bake it, and it puffs up really beautifully. And my mother would make it on the occasion that we were out of TV dinners.
Can you give us an example of sort of a more typical dish of your mother's, maybe?
No, there really isn't anything else. Matzo balls. And Swanson TV dinners. I mean, you could have the Salisbury steak. You could have the roast chicken. You could have the Ridge Street special, actually. I did not put the Ridge Street special in the book.
The Ridge Street special.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. The Ridge Street special is minute rice and ground beef browned. I don't think it was ever drained. Pour it on top of the minute rice and covered with ketchup.
Mm.
Yum. No, I spared Mélange the Ridge Street special.
Why the Ridge Street? What was Ridge Street?
She worked at a nursery school called Ridge Street Country School, and they served that to the students once a week on Thursdays for lunch, but I think that the cafeteria staff did a I think they drained the beef.
Did the kid? Were there a lot of children calling in sick on Friday?
Yeah, I suspect there were. No, I think they made it better at the school than they did, than my mother did at home.
They used a higher grade of ketchup.
Yeah, higher grade of ketchup, drained the beef, maybe used real rice, you know, salt would have been good. Yeah.
So now, in the book, back to the book.
Mm-hmm, yes.
All of the art in the book are prints. They're all prints.
Yes, they're all made by printmakers. They're all not necessarily made on a press, but they are basically the definition of a fine art print, meaning that they are that there's some kind of matrix used, some kind of plate material, ink usually or paint applied to the surface of something, glass, plexiglass, wood, and printed off onto another surface, in this case mainly paper. So they're all fine art original prints, and then they would be one of the, either they would be a one of a kind print, or if they were from an edition, the artist would select the one they wanted, and then that was photographed, scanned, you know, et cetera, and printed by community printers here in Santa Cruz. We have a lot of wonderful and talented people in our group, and many of them are professionals in a lot of areas of the arts. We have a number of graphic designers, and Annie Pike and Eva Bernstein kind of took control of the design of the book to a certain extent, but we had a committee of about 10 people, all Santa Cruz-based and Monterey-based, that designed the book. You know, we had proofreaders, copy editors, editors. It was just a huge, huge production, much bigger thing than I thought it would be. I don't have that background in graphic arts to know really what this project entailed. I'm sort of glad I didn't know.
You went over my head a little bit there. What is a matrix? You said it involves a matrix.
Yeah, a fine art print basically involves some kind of matrix or surface that ink is applied to. So, for example, in a woodcut, the matrix is the piece of wood that is carved away, and you roll ink on top of that matrix, and then you put a piece of paper over it, rub it, or run it through a press, and the ink is transferred onto a piece of paper, and that is your print.
So the matrix is the thing you're printing from.
Basically, yes.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with artist Robin Smith. She spells her name, for some odd reason, R-O-B-Y-N-N-S-M-I-T-H, and a visit to robinsmith.com will reveal to you some of her beautiful artwork that we're about to discuss. So let me ask you this, Robin Smith. Why bother to make a print? I mean, isn't it a lot easier to just draw a picture or paint a picture? Why go through the whole matrix scene?
Well, that's the question. And the answer...
That's why I asked.
Yeah. The answer to that is magic. There is something magical that happens when the image is transferred from the matrix to the paper. And it's kind of like if you've ever done ceramics, if you've ever applied glaze to a piece of bisqueware and put it in a kiln, expecting that when it comes out of the kiln, it's going to look a certain way, and it never does. It never looks the way you think it's going to look. There's always an element of surprise. There's always that alchemy that I talked about before. And it's very addicting and magical and wonderful. And that's why we continue to do it.
So it's as much the process of making the print as the final work?
Yeah, if you're not someone who really likes process, if you're not very interested in solving problems and pursuing something that's always somewhat elusive, you really don't want to become a printmaker. But if you are the kind of artist who enjoys just the process of being involved, enjoys solving odd problems, seeing something happen and wondering why it happened and how you can make it better and what might you be able to do to shift things around, Printmaking is incredible because it's endless, endless, endless problem solving and endlessly wonderful surprise and very, very engaging as a process. It's a very collaborative process because very few people can set up full on print studios themselves. It's very expensive equipment. It's very specialized equipment. So you see a lot of cooperative printmaking studios, and, you know, painters are very solitary. We sit in our studios or stand in our studios and listen to music and paint by ourselves. And so printmaking being often a major collaboration where sometimes you actually need other people just to make the prints. It becomes very social as well. And so this group that I work with, the MPC Print Club, is a very social group. And that's part of why this cookbook, you know, got made.
Well, you print in your own studio. You print at your Monterey Peninsula College studio, and you've printed all over the world.
Yes, I because of that collaboration, because every print studio is different, and so every time you print someplace different, you bring to your work something different. It's that element of surprise. And so, yeah, I've printed all over the world. I've printed in Paris, and I've printed all over the country. I've printed in Canada. Yeah, so I've printed in Belgium. So every print shop is really different.
When you're printing, say, in Paris, there's a place that you go, or you rent a. How do you print in Paris?
Well, I was able to print in Paris because a friend of mine printed at this studio there 6 months of the year. He lives in Tasmania the rest of the time, and his name is Raymond Arnold, and he had a deal with this wonderful atelier in Paris and printed there regularly for about 10 years, and he invited me to come and spend a week there printing with him, so I was able to do that.
During a week at an atelier in Paris, how many prints do you end up making? One? Seven? What?
Well, I ended up with two plates, two copper etching plates, and I spent the time making the plates, which in etching is a very complicated process. If you make a monotype, for example, you're simply painting with ink on a piece of plexiglass and you print that off and the ink is gone and you just have your plexiglass. So making your plate is not really relevant. But if you're etching, you know, I spent 4 or 5 days working with this copper plate, applying different grounds, putting it in acid, scratching through it, burnishing it, putting it in more acid. So by the end of the 4 or 5 days that I was there, I had two proofs. I had a proof of each plate, so that the printer there, the master printer, had proofed them and basically said, this is what you're going to get when you go home and print it. And so I ended up with, you know, two prints, but I didn't print the edition until I got back to California.
We're talking with artist Robin Smith, painter, printmaker, sculptor. What other kind of artwork have you done?
That's pretty much it.
And cook, gourmet cook.
No, I'm a pretty good cook. I do love to cook.
Give her a bottle of ketchup and.
Oh man, yeah.
Well, I asked you earlier about why anybody would want to make a print when they could just draw a picture. Or, well, let me just ask you the larger question, which is, you know, why make art?
Why make art? Well, I think in many cases it's a compulsion. I don't think that one really has a choice. I think I'm lucky enough to be a professional artist. I pursued it as a career and, you know, went to art school and all that, but I don't feel that I ever really had a choice. I was one of those kids whose identity was wrapped up in being able to draw when I was younger. And, you know, just like being a class clown or being the class brain, I was the class artist. And, it's always been part of my identity, and I suspect that had I not pursued it as a career, I would still be doing it. And I think that for most artists, it is a compulsion. It's an identity. It's what you're born with, and you either are true to yourself and make things and find a means of expression that works for you, or you're unhappy.
But there's more to it than that. I mean, in addition to just making art, you have something to say in your work?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I do have something to say. I mean, yes, I try not to be really heavy-handed about it, and I try not to really formulate my ideas too much before I get involved in the process of making something. For me, it's about image. I'm inspired by image. So I see something and I want to deal with it. And often for me, it's the juxtaposition of a number of images together that come up with a content for the particular piece that I'm making, whether it be in print or in paint. But every artist is different. And, you know, for me, process is hugely important. I'm very engaged in that crazy process, in all of the crazy processes that I do. So I have an image, I get to work processing that image, and the content reveals itself through that activity.
There's a certain continuity between your prints and your paintings, I noticed, looking at robinsmith.com. And your paintings that I've seen in person and at the museum in Santa Cruz recently, you had a show there.
Mm-hmm.
The surfaces of your paintings are like woodcuts or plates, yes?
Yes, absolutely. And that evolved over many years. I used to just work oil paint on canvas, but over many years, the textural elements started to come to the fore, and I started working on plywood. And at the same time, I was just beginning to become a printmaker, and so I think the two media began to have a conversation through my hands.
So I guess to a certain extent, the discussion of the image and what you want to say in your art is defined, you know, it kind of undoes the alchemy that you've been talking about. So you don't want to discuss it that much, or you don't want to discuss what you're trying to say in your work? You want to leave that alone?
Well, I think that in the big picture is that I'm really talking about choices that people make through my work. I'm talking about humanity universally, and talking about the fact that human beings have perpetrated lots of horror on themselves, on the earth, on the animals of the earth, and that we live in a potential paradise, and that we've made decisions, we've made choices that have worked antithetically to that paradise. And so in my work, I tend to show images of nature alongside images of catastrophic events perpetrated by human beings. And I'm interested in some ways, how the landscape becomes a victim and a witness to these catastrophic events, sort of the aesthetics of catastrophe, in a sense.
So your work is uplifting.
It's very uplifting. If you do go to the Felix Culpa Gallery, which is where the show is right now, Mélange à Trois, which is a show of fine art prints by the printmakers at MPC.
Are there the actual prints that are in Mélange?
There are some of the actual prints that are in Mélange 1. There are some completely new prints that have nothing whatsoever to do with food, and the Mélange books are for sale. And you know, if you go to see that show, you'll see artwork from all of these artists, and I do have a print there that you'll see an image, you'll see a combination of images, and one is just an image of snow on the streets in Montmartre in Paris, and that's combined with an image from the old World's Fair, the 1967 World's Fair in Montreal. And so I'm interested in that sort of man-made situation of the World's Fair, just this kind of strange structure that was built to celebrate human beings' triumphs, and yet it's really kind of outdated and kind of odd and melancholy, and the snow on the street kind of works hand in hand, works in concert with that image for me. So,
so who are some of the other contributing artists in Melange? You mentioned a couple, but...
Well, there are a number of contributing artists from the Santa Cruz area that people here might know. Jane Gregorius, who used to teach at Cabrillo College, is one of them. I mentioned Eva Bernstein, who's a graphic designer. You just turned a page to Diana Paul, who used to be a professor at Stanford University. She is down in Monterey. Who are you looking at now on that book?
Carol Russell.
Carol Russell, who is a yoga instructor and owns a winery in Carmel Valley. I think that's Jennifer Anderson, who is a recent transplant from Vermont, where she was a well-known printmaker in Vermont and worked in a studio there. Kathleen Bierstecker, who is a recent graduate from CSUMB. There are just, you know, lots and lots of terrific printmakers. And we have a real variety of ages and experience in our group. We have Dr. Bob Rocco, who's an actual physician and mad scientist working in Hollister and is actually moving to Santa Cruz next month. He did a lot of our, he contributed a lot of our printmaking recipes. So, Bob Lamp, some people may know, he contributed his toast and jam recipe. The recipes are...
Toast and jam.
Yeah, he did. It's in the bread section.
I see. Well, let me guess. You toast the bread,
well,
you
there's
apply
the
jam.
You have to read the recipe. But it's a really eclectic book because the only real criteria was that the recipes be good and that we really like them. And because our group is so diverse, it's a very, very diverse book, and we tried to balance it well, so you really could cook out of this book. It could be, you know, one of your only books that you use because it's got such a breadth of recipes. But some of them are extremely complicated, and some of them are extremely simple, like toast and jam.
What's your favorite recipe in the book?
You know, I haven't made nearly enough of them to say what's my favorite. As far as I contributed, about 7 recipes. And although I don't make them anymore because of the highly caloric content of them, I think my old-fashioned turkey croquettes are probably, it's probably my favorite recipe. The butternut squash and yam soup is also incredible, as is my tangy New England pot roast. So I can say that, you know, there's 3 really good ones right away. Plus, I give you my secret for the best matzo balls ever.
Well, then it's not a secret anymore.
No, it's not.
Well, the book is called Melange. Now, if people want to purchase this book, where can they do so?
Well, until the end of May, I urge you to go down to Felix Culpa Gallery at 107 Elm Street in Santa Cruz and pick up a book and look at the artwork from Melange and look at the new work by print club members.
And, of course, From the Bookshelf has a worldwide audience around the web.
Yes.
So where can they find your book?
What they can do is they can contact me through robinsmith.com. Just go to robinsmith.com. You'll find
R-O-B-Y-N-N-S-M-I-T-H.
Right. You'll find my email address, robin@cruzio.com, robynn@cruzio.com. Write me an email. We send you a book. It's what we did was we made a fabulous, amazing book, and we really haven't figured out the marketing of it yet. Although we have sold out half our run, which is terrific. But we really, you know, we haven't figured out the whole PayPal thing yet. You can also go to Monterey Peninsula College Fine Art Print Club. You can look us up on the web, and we have a website, and that website is going to get redone and become more interactive, but you can contact us through that website as well. Just mpcprintclub.org.
Well, Robin Smith, thank you so much for joining us this week, and I'm sure now that we've talked about it on From the Bookshelf, Melange will shoot up the bestseller cookbook.
Absolutely.
Art.
I expect so.
Well, that closes the book on this week's edition of From the Bookshelf. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again next week with another great show. In the meantime, check out our podcast page at KUSP.org or find us on iTunes and Facebook. I want to thank our guest, Robin Smith, for being with us, and I also want to thank our From the Bookshelf staff, the lovely Miss Breanne Beal, for all of her hard work. Thank you, Breanne. For From the Bookshelf, I'm Gary Shapiro. Good night.